telephone-based navigation of documents with attitude. That's the best way I can think of to describe Voice Web Solutions products. They are a Seattle, Washington company, and Brian Ty Graham joins us from Voice Web Solutions to tell us all about what they offer. Brian, welcome to Main Menu. You have a very innovative set of products that you're working on. Can you tell me about the genesis of Voice Web Solutions? How did you come up with the idea of setting up this company?
Well, we've been in business for 2 years, and our main goal is to produce products that are helping people achieve better mobility using everyday things they're familiar with, but just using voice. And speech is a natural fit for accessibility, and we saw that one of our products that we're building for email by phone could be used in accessibility, and we decided to move in this direction to help the blind people in our local area.
Because a lot of people, when they look at the blind and vision impaired market, they think it's just too small. We're not going to be able to make a living doing this. Do you think the market's large enough to sustain what you want to do?
Yeah, I think there's a huge market for accessibility. There's a limitation in the products that are out there right now. I think that's the main problem with the market, is that they're products that are, you know, ad hoc or put together by various companies that don't really solve the complete problem and don't give out the solution to all people that can and use it. And so having the disabled market be a market that is underserved, I think that it's a huge market for those companies that want to do the right thing for the audience.
What steps have you taken then to ensure that your interface, your product, is in fact going to meet the needs of this customer base?
We've done an excellent job in understanding what the customer wants, and we've seen what's out there in terms of interfaces for accessing text-based information. We have Braille, and Braille is an excellent medium for reading. However, it only serves less than 10% of the population that can that are visually impaired. And DAISY, or the NISO standard, which is digital talking books, that won't be coming out until 2007, effectively, in our area, the United States. And so there has to be some sort of solution out there. And what we've done is we've looked at both of those and figured out, well, how can we create a technology that can be accessible to all people, not just the visually impaired, but those who are motor impaired, and provide them with a clean user interface that they can access their not only books, manuals, but also product descriptions as well as official government documents.
And is the telephone the sole means of accessing this information, or do you have ideas of using other devices to access it too?
Well, right now the telephone is the first step in this technology. The next step, of course, is to work with hardware manufacturers who are producing digital talking books and see if, you know, we can produce a version of their hardware that can read our technology, which allows them to not only access these documents but create other helpful applications that are specifically targeted towards the disabled market.
Now, when you talk about this, I guess one of the first things that people might think of is the NFB Newsline service. How does what you do differ from what they've been doing?
Well, that's an excellent example of what our technology, the history of this type of technology. We think of our approach to this as the next generation of Newsline, whereas Newsline allows the visually impaired person to call in over the telephone and access news articles from various different newspapers. Our technology enables pretty much the same thing, but in a much more friendlier user interface, because they're using their natural voice to say things like jump forward three sentences, or repeat certain things, or spell back, and even copy and paste selection. So we provide a lot of the visual cues that you see on a screen with just the telephone and just a speech interface. And that type of power can be applied to any type of text, whether it's a newspaper or a product warranty description or official government document.
So can I talk about it from the provider's point of view? If I'm the provider of a document, or let's say I have a website and I want to make it available via this technology, what would I have to do at the provider end to make it happen?
Well, we work with that provider and their content to publish that content into what we call a voice document file. And that voice document file is just like any other electronic file format that can be distributed. And so that provider would use our software, our desktop publishing software, to convert their original documents in their original form, such as a PDF or Word or a plain text file, and we convert that document into the voice document file using standard internet technologies that are called voice XML. And because we're using the standard voice XML, we can now move around within that content just by saying voice commands such as show me the table of contents, play back this particular paragraph, or jump to the last paragraph of this document, things like that. So the publisher takes their original content and they transcribe that content into voice XML, and that content can now be put on a web server or accessed via CD-ROM or accessed via any other electronic medium that they want to use that content with.
So how automated is this process? Let's say I've got a pretty standard looking HTML document and it has a whole lot of links at the top of the page that send you to anchors further down the page, like a kind of a frequently asked questions format or something. Is there a routine that converts basic HTML to voice XML? Is it an automated process?
Yes, our technology, if you think of that document as the HTML document as just any other document, what we do is we apply a style sheet to that document.
Right.
And basically that document now, any other type of document, such as if that document was a manual, you can now do 100 manuals in the span of a few minutes, because we're opening all of those manuals in our software and batch processing them. So it completely saves the publisher a tremendous amount of time, because they don't have to worry about doing each and every document. All they need to do is work with that exact type of document, and they're able to move forward and save those documents to file and to disk.
And where does your revenue come from? Are you looking to charge the provider for the service or the end user?
We're charging the provider.
Right.
We have a licensing fee for the software, and we do have a fee for transcribing the content into the voice document file.
So when you say the software, do you mean that people can set this up on their own phone number? There's software that runs on the PC that allows people to dial into a particular service? Is that how it works?
Well, we have a licensing fee for the publishing software.
Okay.
And that publishing software also comes with a bank of basically a bank of pages that you can work with. And we typically give out 10,000 pages with the software. And so that company can now use our software and transcribe that amount of pages into voice document files and be able to distribute that. And when they're ready to purchase more of that page amount, then they're able to do so without any other purchasing of the software. So at that point, they're able to make new revenues with their clients who are wanting to publish their content into the voice document file format, so that they can access that via the telephone or speech-enabled computer.
So is the idea that all of these documents that people are going to publish and create will all be on one central repository, that you actually run the server side of it?
Oh, not at all. The beauty of the system is that because the documents are just like any other electronic file format, you can have a centralized service like Newsline, or you can enable your PC, speech-enable your PC using software from our company and access Newsline on CD-ROM. So if the company that are using our software wanted to provide centralized services, they can do so, or if they wanted to provide steady stream of content like books or publications like magazines via CD-ROM, they can do so with a non-centralized service.
And do you charge the end user for that software, the bit that runs on a blind person's PC to use this?
we work with other companies who are already working with the visually impaired market or the disabled community, and they are the ones that are charging that for that service. So if you think of us, we are a technology provider enabling companies to successfully go after the market for disability with their own type of solutions for their customers.
So in some ways it does have similarities to DAISY in that what you're looking at is you've designed a format, and it's the combination of zeros and ones, but the delivery mechanism is actually quite flexible. It could be the phone, it could be CD-ROM, and I presume it could be the web as well.
Exactly. We're working on technologies that would allow for all types of, for all three mediums to be the access points for looking at and accessing this information. If you're a visually impaired person where you're not completely blind or legally blind, we're working on ways where you can fill out forms via the computer using your voice, and you have the same exact flexibility in navigation as if you were using a telephone. You can say, jump to section 3, and the scroll bar will scroll down, and the words would be able to appear on the screen as if they were being as they are being read back to you. So we are working on technologies out there with just one format with tremendous amounts of flexibility, because we do see that DAISY, although it is a good start for reading information and reading it aloud, it does not fulfill the promise of what it's intended to be.
With DAISY, there are all sorts of different levels of markup, and it really depends on the people producing the material how much markup there is, and whether you can break it down by chapter or page or paragraph or even by word. Is that the same with the technology you're working with, that you can, if you want to painstakingly do it, mark it up to the point that each word is a separate unit that you can navigate?
Well, the software does a lot of the automation for defining what those sections and headers and the structure of the content. It does a lot of that for you, and the developer who's using our software, they can, if they don't want to mark up the document the way the software suggests it to be marked up, then what the developer can do is they can change that and allow for different paragraphs to be broken up even further. But the way the technology works is that it allows the person over the phone to control the text-to-speech that's being played back, where you don't have to mark it up so exuberantly as a DAISY document would need to be marked up. So the flexibility is, again, in the format and allowing the reading aloud of the content to be much more flexible, and that's why we have the technology called Vanguard Player, because it basically plays any voice XML document with the same types of user interfaces consistently, and the flexibility is in the playback.
And so can this be done with both human voice and synthetic voice?
I think you're referring to recorded audio.
Yeah, yes, in terms of what the user hears, it could be synthesized speech, or it could be somebody who's reading the document, I take it.
At this time, we're only working with synthesized speech. However, inside the document, we do have announcements that let the person know where they are in the document. For example, if I'm listening to a 10-page manual and I'm at page 2 and I forget where I am, I can always ask the system, where am I? And an announcement will come back and state that, you know, you're reading section 2 of page 1 or page 2. So basically, those announcements that the caller or the listener hears, those can be recorded audio, but we don't control the playback of recorded audio. We only work with text-to-speech through synthesized speech.
Well, I guess the best way to demonstrate how this all works is to actually hear it in action, and I believe you're able to give us a bit of a demo of that.
Yes, I can. It's about 5 minutes long.
Cool.
And I'll go ahead and pull up the demonstration if you hold on just 1 second.
Okay.
Welcome to VoiceWeb Solutions. To access our demonstrations, say demos. For information about our company, say information.
Demos.
We have two demonstrations for you to choose from. To access our book portal demo, say voice books. to access Vanguard for email, say Message Center.
VoiceBooks.
Welcome to VoiceBooks. When you hear the book you want, just say it. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Those are all the books we have in our library today. If you know the book you want, just say it.
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Here is the table of contents.
Introduction. Chapter 1. The Cyclone.
Begin.
I will now begin reading.
Dorothy lived in the midst of the great Kansas prairies, with Uncle Henry, who was a farmer, and Aunt Em, who was the farmer's wife.
Jump to Chapter 11, Paragraph 4.
I will now take you to Chapter 11, The Wonderful City of Oz, Paragraph 4, Sentence 1. You may say jump back to return.
The guardian of a gate led them through the streets until they came to a big building, exactly in the middle of the city, which was the Palace of Oz, the Great Wizard.
Where am I?
You are at Chapter 11, The Wonderful City of Oz, Paragraph 4, Sentence 2.
Dressed in the green uniform...
VoiceBooks.
Welcome to VoiceBooks. When you hear the book you want, just say...
Tarzan.
Tarzan of the Apes, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Here is the table of contents.
Chapter 1. Out to Sea.
Begin.
I will now begin reading.
I had a story from one who had no business...
Copy.
To...
I will now begin highlighting. To cancel, say stop.
I may credit the seductive...
Go to Chapter 2.
I will now take you to Chapter 2, The Savage Home, Paragraph 1, Sentence 1. You may say jump back to return.
Nor did they have long to wait.
Paste.
I will now paste your selection to the clipboard.
Email the clipboard.
Would you like to attach a document to this message?
Yes.
Please say the name of the document.
The Wizard of Oz.
To whom would you like to send this message?
Jeremy McKenzie.
Message sent.
Main menu.
Welcome to VoiceWeb Solutions.
Demos.
We have two demonstrations for you to choose
Message
from.
Center.
Welcome to the Vanguard for email demonstration. You have one new message. The subject is Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Clipboard selection. The message is I had a story from one who had no business to tell it to me.
Next paragraph.
When my convivial host discovered
Repeat
that...
sentence.
When my convivial host...
Spell that.
Which word would you like to spell? When my convivial...
That one.
Convivial is spelled C-O-N-V-I-V-I-A-L.
Read attachments.
The attachment is The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Here is the table of contents.
Search the document.
What would you like to find?
Ruby Red Shoes.
Ruby Red Shoes. Found in Chapter 2, The Council with the Munchkins, Paragraph 11. Sentence 2. Would you like to go there now?
Yes.
There. Indeed, just under the corner of the great Bimba house rested on, 2 feet were sticking out, shod in ruby red shoes, with pointed toes.
Go to the last chapter, last paragraph.
I will now take you to Chapter 24, Home Again, Paragraph 3, Sentence 1. You may say jump back to return.
From the Land of Oz, said Dorothy gravely. And here is Toto, too. And oh, Aunt Em, I'm so glad to be at home again.
You have reached the end of the document. What would you like to do?
Goodbye. So that will complete the demonstration.
That's pretty impressive stuff. I take it that if somebody's using this regularly, you can get rid of things such as, I will now begin or I'm now moving to, those kind of prompts.
Yes, exactly. The purpose for mounting that in the demonstration is to show that it's actually moving somewhere. But a person, they can turn it on or off if they're familiar with the system. And the commands are pretty much the same through any type of document. So it's the same user interface, and you don't need to play the instructions on how to use the system for each document.
And is that email by phone service publicly available?
No, it's just our internal email system, and it's just for this demonstration. We don't create email applications, but again, the main purpose that our technology originally started for is to enhance email by phone services, because normally when you're listening to email over the phone, you cannot pause the content, you cannot move forward or send the message as you hear it, and most certainly you cannot hear its email attachments. So that's where our technology is helping make a difference as well.
I guess from my point of view as the director of ACB Radio, my next question is, do you integrate in some way with streaming audio off the net? For example, would it technically be possible for ACB Radio to create a kind of a voice portal on the telephone that had that kind of navigation of its website plus linking to some of the internet streams?
Yes, that's completely possible. What we're doing right now is we're working with a magazine called Speech Technology Magazine, and on our public demo number you can hear a sample news article, but we're voice enabling that magazine, and we'll be including live audio, recorded audio, and the text-to-speech news article. So completely flexible in what the technology does, because it's based upon voice XML.
So for people who would like to see this technology rolled out further and more widely available, what can they do to try and facilitate that?
Well, from our point, we're trying to get awareness of the technology. It's not that apparent in the marketplace that this type of technology exists, and we're trying to work with companies that are looking to provide this type of service for their customers and for people who are interested in this type of usability. And so the awareness has to be there before we can work with the people that really need it. And I guess if we have relationships with companies in the UK as well as in other areas of the world who want to help produce the devices or the content, because we're only a technology provider. Without any content, we really don't have a service. So we would need to work with companies that have content that they want to be able to use this platform.
And for people who wanted, say, to provide this kind of a service using your technology, what kind of hardware would be involved to set up to run a server like that?
A simple voice server. We can certainly provide that type of service over the telephone without any hardware. So we would work with a company that provides a telephony number or 800 number, and the customer wouldn't even have to host any boxes or telephony hardware. And they would simply either use our software to convert their content into voice XML, or they would just use us as on an ASP model, and our rate is typically around 60 cents a page.
Okay. Well, irrespective of how many users access that page.
Yes, exactly. And that's the beauty of the system, because, companies are publishing content in Braille, which if you republish a content that had already been put in Braille, it's still expensive. And so our technology allows you to publish content once and be able to distribute it and use it as many times as you want.
And if people would like to find out more information, you've got a website.
Yes, I do. It's voicewebsolutions.net.
Excellent. Voicewebsolutions.net. Brian, this has been fascinating, and I wish you all the best with the technology, and I hope we can keep in touch.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Do give me a call if you have any more questions.